Just come, let's bow. Lord, we count it a privilege to stand before you this morning, to stand faultless before your throne. Yes, Lord, we realize that standing here today, still in these earthly mortal bodies, we still have faults. We still have flaws and are plagued with sin. But through Jesus, we are conquerors. We are triumphant through his blood. Lord, we count it a part of our worship to be able to give in support of missionaries. We count it a part of our worship to be able to give in the support of the ongoing ministry of this church. Lord, may we see all of our resources, time and talents and treasure, as a stewardship, things that we've been entrusted with to be spent for the furthering of your glory and your kingdom in the name of Jesus in this world. It's in his name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Have some ushers come at this time. Any of you? Landa? Any other? No Trevor today. He's shaking it off. Okay. All right. Anyone want to help Landon? Ellie, you want to help? You want to be an usher today? No? Logan? Boy, it's hot, isn't it? It's hot. Picky. Okay, Susie, come on up. Usherette. Here she comes. She's a mean one, too. You better watch out. She'll get you. Amen. You guys can go ahead. We already prayed. Thank you. As they come around, take your Bible out and turn to Proverbs 19, the 19th chapter of Proverbs. I'm enjoying our time in Proverbs. As I said a few weeks ago, in kicking off the Proverbs series, these messages for July and August, I'm not intending to go light on them or anything like that, but the nature of Proverbs lends itself to being able to kind of move from place to place and not have to work through the whole book of Proverbs sequentially. And this has also given me time to do a lot of extra reading and studying on the book of Revelation and things pertaining thereto in preparation for this September and the series that will kick off in September in Revelation. So I'm looking forward to that. I hope you're praying for that. I'm hoping by early August to have out for you, available here for you, a reading plan so that we together in preparation for the month of August can be reading through the book of Revelation, reading through it devotionally, reading through it and praying through it that God might prepare our hearts to have it preached to us and that he might also further prepare me to preach it. But we're in Proverbs 19 today, and our proverb of the day is verse 21. Proverbs 19, verse 21. King Solomon says this to his sons: many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. There's a nice cadence to that, in my translation at least. And so my hope is today that as we look at this, the rhythm of that proverb, the truth of that proverb, the wisdom of that proverb would be pounded by the Holy Spirit into our minds and our consciences. Everybody plans, right? We all make plans. We do it in various ways, but we all do it, and we all do it all the time. We're always planning, even as the old saying goes, even when we fail to plan, we what? We plan to fail. That's right. So even when we're not planning, we're planning. It's just to fail. Stores are full of planners, paper and digital types alike. Military leaders, they confer on strategic plans. Corporations get their boards together and make business plans. Coaches and teams get together and make what, guys? Game plans, right? so that we can take on the opponent. Families make financial and vacation plans. Everybody plans. And we plan because our lives have limits. We may not like to verbalize that, but subconsciously we know that our lives have limits, time limits. And we have time limits in a couple of key dimensions. In case you haven't noticed, time doesn't stop. Much as we might like for it to, want it to, that clock just keeps on moving. Even if the battery stops, there's a clock somewhere that keeps on going. All right? Time doesn't stop. Even when we're on vacation, man, we're mindful of the clock. And we're mindful of the calendar. We're mindful of the fact that vacation's going to end and the routines of life are going to resume. And more than likely, those routines will have been planned out in advance, either by us or by others for us. Think school calendars. Think church functions. Think sports schedules. Think business trips, family visits, holidays, doctor visits. And I call this limit the width limit, the width limit. You see, because our lives are only so wide, despite what our devices and despite what Devo and despite what device manufacturers want us to believe. Devo, I said Devo, I meant TiVo, that thing where you can record your favorite shows and watch them later.
Devo was like a group years ago.
Devo, yeah, okay. I'm going way back in the sub mind there. TiVo, yeah. Devices trick us into thinking our lives are limitlessly wide. In other words, that we can get everything in, but we can't. We know this. We know it. We are physically finite beings, and physically finite beings can only really be in one place at any one given time. And so we have to make yes and no decisions all the time, don't we, about how and where we spend our hours and our days. It's just part of life. We also plan, not just because our lives are only so wide, but because our lives are only so long, right? Our days and our years are numbered. We've all been to enough funerals or heard about enough passings on and seen enough death. We all should be fully aware and apprised of the fact that earthly life is temporary. We're only going to live on this planet for so long. Our days and our years are numbered, so we want them to count for something, don't we? We want them to matter. We want our days and our years to have an impact even after our time is up. And so we make yes and no decisions on this bigger basis, on the length limit of our lives. And so whether it's, you know, whether it's those smaller day-to-day limited width decisions, I can only get so much in today, I have to decide which invitations to say yes or no to, which meetings to make or miss, which kid's soccer game to attend and which kid's not to attend, and which meaningful phone call or conversation to engage in, or whether it's those larger limited length kinds of decisions, what to believe, who to marry, what college to go to, what church to join, what career to pursue, where, how, and whether or not even to serve other people or ourselves. So whether it's those smaller decisions or the bigger life decisions, listen, our core value structure is what will give shape to every single one of those decisions and to the plans that we make to carry those decisions out. Our core value system and structure. As God's image bearers, creatures created by God in His image, we all make plans. Part of being made in God's image is reflecting the planning nature of God. God's a planning God. He makes plans. He executes plans. By the fact that we're made in His image, we make plans. So our big idea today is this, that a person's most enduring earthly plans are those that align most closely with God's eternal plan. I didn't print that for you today, sorry about that, so let me read it again for you. It's a big idea. A person's most enduring earthly plans are those plans that align most closely with God's eternal plan. You want your life to count? get in line with God's mission and purpose in this world. I hope that as believers in Christ, those of us who are believers here, we understand we're already on board with that. If we've trusted in Jesus as our Savior, we've said yes to that. We've said, I want to be on board with that. Doesn't mean we do it perfectly. Doesn't mean we always have perfect execution, but we have said yes to God's eternal plan. And if we want our eternal plans and earthly endeavors to carry out through eternity, we need to align them with God's plan. We need them to adhere to God's eternal plan and purpose. Preaching on a single verse like we've been doing in Proverbs gives us a chance to look really closely at some individual words in a verse. Key words. Two key words in this verse are, of course, plans and purpose, as they've been translated in my translation. Many of you probably have the same two words in your version. The King James has it a little differently. Any King James folks out there? Well, here's what that version says. Version I grew up reading. There are many devices instead of plans. Devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So devices instead of plans, counsel instead of purpose. The New American Standard also says counsel instead of purpose. The Holman Christian Bible says many plans are in a person's heart, but the Lord's decree will prevail. In other words, what God says will happen. It's going to happen. It can't not happen. He's God. Can't be thwarted. Some version of the word that's translated as man's plans or devices shows up 56 times in the Old Testament. Hebrew word for plans in this verse shows up 56 times across the Old Testament. Solomon uses that word 8 times here in Proverbs. Let me just share these with you from Proverbs chapter 6, verse 18. One of among 7 things that God detests is a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to do evil. It's one of the things God hates and detests. Chapter 12, verse 5 says, the thoughts of the righteous are just. Same word, same Hebrew word, different rendering in English. Thoughts. The thoughts of the righteous are just. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful. Chapter 15, verse 22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Chapter 15, verse 26, a few verses later, says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but gracious words are pure. Chapter 16, verse 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. Chapter 20, verse 18 says, plans are established by counsel. By wise guidance, wage war. Very fitting word for a king who would be in charge of an army, to sons who would one day succeed him in being in charge of an army. Plans are established by counsel, by wise guidance, wage war. Chapter 21, verse 5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. And of course, our verse today, 19:21, says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Now, that gives us an idea of what Solomon means by plans. He means thoughts. He means intents, devices, designs, inventions, schemes. And how does Solomon describe them in verse 21? Well, he doesn't call them either good or bad here in this verse. He doesn't say that they're either correct or flawed. He simply says they are plural. They are many. Many are the plans in the mind of a man. And boy, isn't that true. You kiddos in here, you'll realize this someday too. Man, I look back at, whew, I've had some plans. And when I was early in high school, I wanted to drive for NASCAR one day. So I had to convince my mom and my dad to let me build a junker race car for the local racing league at the local dirt track. Well, that plan didn't get very far, because even that takes a lot of money. So I scratched NASCAR off my list of plans. In high school, plans kind of changed a little bit later on, later years of high school. I went and toured an architecture school at a local college. I thought, architect, that sounds cool. I like design buildings and stuff. That's a good plan. And then even in college, I worked for about a year for a local surveyor. And so I hired a tutor to help me get through trigonometry so that I could sit for the Missouri Land Surveyor's licensing exam. But I scrapped that plan before I even got there. I discovered I was more of a words guy and less of a numbers guy. Architecture and surveying and deal with a lot of math. Not my thing. So I planned to be a high school English teacher and was in education in college for a little while. That plan gave way to a call to the ministry. And so in seminary, I failed to test while I was working at a part-time job at UPS. I failed the test to get into the management program at the local UPS hub there in Louisville. So that plan got scrapped. Then I at first, when I went to seminary in Louisville, I planned to, well, I graduate and I'll move back to Missouri and be a pastor there. But instead, I moved to Ohio 3 years before finishing seminary. 2009, Deborah and I had been married for a couple years, and we planned to leave Bridge Church. We've been here for a couple years in the youth ministry role, and we planned to leave Bridge, didn't we, Jeff, and go to Montana. We actually went to Montana and planned to be part of a church planting venture out there. But those plans didn't work out. And little did we know, less than a year or so later, Jeff would be called back into the world of church planting, and Bridge Church would call me to be the lead pastor. I've had a lot of other plans come to nothing or morph into something else over the years than what I originally intended. I'm sure the same is true for you. The plans of a person's mind are many. Many. It's not that all my plans, it's not that all of your plans are necessarily bad, but I can certainly see that despite all of my plans, a master plan and a master purpose has been unfolding throughout my life. Do you see that same pattern in your life? Can you look back over the course of your years and see that even though on the surface your mind and your direction maybe shifted course drastically at different times, there was an underlying set of rails that your life was moving on? That's the master plan. That's God's plan. That master plan even extends back beyond your conversion to Christ. Every step of our lives, if we are God's people, is under His authority and is being directed towards His end. And it's being guided by His purpose in this world. So what about that other key word? Many are the plans, plural, in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose, singular, of the Lord that will stand. Now that Hebrew word shows up 89 times in the Old Testament, and 10 of those occur in Proverbs. So I'll read those for you. Chapter 1, verse 25. You have ignored all my counsel. Purpose, counsel, same Hebrew word. And you would have none of my reproof. Chapter 1, verse 30. They would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Very similar. Chapter 8, verse 14. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. Chapter 12, verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Same Hebrew word for counsel, for purpose, advice. Chapter 19, verse 20 says, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Chapter 20, verse 5, the purpose in a man's heart. There it is. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Chapter 20, verse 18. Plans are established by counsel. by wise guidance, wage war. That sound familiar? Come back to that in a little bit. Chapter 21, verse 30. No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. There's no plan, no plot, no counsel that can stand up and bring to nothing God's plan. His plan will not fail. It cannot be diverted. Chapter 27, verse 9. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Counsel. Singular. Right? The plans of a man's mind are many, and they're diverse. And they are sometimes at odds with one another. Even one person's own plans conflict with one another. But there is singular counsel. There is advice, purpose. That Hebrew word is always in the singular in Proverbs, whereas the word for plans is always in the plural. No human, whether Christian or not, will get through life without some failed plans. Can we all just testify today? Yes, I've had plans fail. I've tried things, it didn't work out. I wanted things, they didn't come to pass. Plans are going to fail in this life. It's part of living in a fallen and sinful world. Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, without counsel, this is one of the ones we read, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. But again, Proverbs are general rules, right? They're not ironclad, 100% consistent. This is going to work this way exactly every time the same way. Proverbs are general rules. That's the nature of the beast. There are exceptions. Solomon doesn't say that this proverb holds true only if the plans and the counsel are good, well-intentioned, and beneficial. Hitler had many plans, and Hitler had many advisors. He was most willing to listen to his most murderous advisors, and thus many of his most murderous plans succeeded in the awfulness of the Holocaust. But Hitler was bullheaded enough to not listen to the counsel of his very best military advisors. And for that, we can all be thankful. Why? Because it cost him the war. And it ended up saving who knows how many millions more lives. We should be thankful that many plans fail. Hitler's and our own. For lack of counsel, both on a global and on an individual scale. Many plans need to fail. Why? Because they're wicked. We can rejoice that plans are failing all over the world today for lack of counsel, including some of our own. Why? Because they're selfish. By wicked, I don't just mean murderous, genocidal plans, okay? I mean silly plans. I'm talking about short-sighted plans. I'm talking about self-centered plans. Plans that don't take into account eternity. Plans that don't take into account the purpose of God in this world. Those plans need to fail. Plans that aren't submitted to Him. Plans that aren't informed by Him, shaped by His Word, and shaped by His mission in the world. Those plans need to and ultimately will fail, even if they seem to succeed for a season. As a Christian, let me ask you this. Do you want your plans to succeed? Solomon says in Proverbs 16, verse 3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. That to me sounds like someone who beginning, middle, and end is seeking the Lord's counsel. Someone who is looking for wisdom from God, looking for God's underlying plan and undergirding purpose in all that they do and factoring it to every one of their plans. That's what that looks like. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Whatever work you want to do, whatever plan you have, commit it to the Lord. Submit it to the Lord. Lay it out there before the Lord. So do we, as New Testament Christians, hear any echoes of Solomon's wisdom in the New Testament? Of course we do. Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and following. He says, "Therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you," and here we are connecting right to Solomon, "I tell you," Jesus said, "even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these blades of grass growing out here in the field." Jesus says in Luke 14, "Which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation, is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." Renounce all that you have. What's that look like? Looks like submission to me. It looks like submitting plans to the Lord. Here's what I want to do, Lord. Are you okay with this? What needs to change, Lord, so that I can live my life in a way that's pleasing to you? Here's what I want to do. Here's my desire. Are my desires in keeping with your purpose in this world or not? Renounce all that we have. And in that way, that's the only way we can be Jesus' disciple. Give him control. Surrender. Romans chapter 8, 28. You'll know this. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. You see, there's a baseline love for God. And if we love God, we love his purposes, don't we? We love what he's doing in the world. We want to be part of that. We know that for those who love God, not just a Sunday morning lip service, "Oh, how I love Jesus," but a life service that demonstrates to those around us, to everyone, to God, "I love you." To those who love God, all things work together for good, even those failed plans. I believe it's actually worked together for good that I didn't end up on the Winston Cup circuit. Probably still alive, in part because of that failed plan. Galatians, Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Sow to the flesh, cultivate our fleshly desires, or we can sow to the Spirit and cultivate God's desires in our lives and map our lives to his purpose. Paul puts that out there to the Galatians because they were very much engaged in sowing to the flesh. And they needed to have their minds changed and brought to that realization. Reminded that it's only when we invest in the things of God and in his purposes in this world that our lives are going to matter. and carry an eternal influence. One who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Philippians, Paul again says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Again, just aligning. We're driving our lives back to the base of God's will and purpose. Don't be anxious about anything. Just go back to God. Go to Him in prayer. Go to Him in supplication. Ask Him to supply your need with thanksgiving, and let our request be made known to God. Only the people who want God's purposes to succeed and who want their lives to get in line with God's purposes are going to do this. They're the only kind of people who are going to pray to God and make their requests known to God. So if you're doing that, good. Keep doing it. So when we stop making our requests known to God, we stop going to God, and that's when anxiety surges. That's when we start depending on the flesh. That's when we're off the rails. Paul again says in Colossians 3:23, very straightforward, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Whatever you do, do it with all your might. Work heartily as unto the Lord and not for men. We're working for the Lord. Every day at your job, Gabby is here. She's visiting with us. She was only able to come for a little while this year because she's got a job. She's working. Gabby, I think, understands if she's going to go to work, she's not working for her employer. Ultimately, she's working for the Lord. She wants her life in that workplace. And all of us, we should want our lives in our workplaces to be about the business of God's eternal purpose in this world, not just getting a paycheck, not just keeping our boss happy and off our back. But by serving the Lord in our hearts, we're going to truly be serving others. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men. Submission. James, half-brother of Jesus, says in James chapter 4, Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet, James says, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. You don't know what's coming your way tomorrow. What's your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, a little time, and then vanishes away. Instead, James says, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Submitting ourselves to God's will. Lord willing. Lord willing. Lord willing, we will continue as a church to have a gospel influence in our community, amongst our friends and our neighbors. Lord willing. It's proud and it's foolish for us to say we're going to do anything on our own without acknowledging the will of the Lord, the underlying purpose of God that supports all that we do. If the Lord wills, we will live or do this or that. As it is, James says, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. It's evil. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, Solomon is talking about submission. He's talking about submission. He's not suggesting that his sons merely seek God's counsel like some advisor in the sky, or treat God's revealed will in Scripture as on par, just one among many counselors, just one among many other earthly counselors or advisors, and then go on and make their decisions and plans regardless of whether they align with God's purpose. That is not what Solomon wants. He wants submission. He wants his sons to lay everything down at the feet of the Most High God and to take up only those plans that pass God's test. There must be no earthly advice or advisors or counsel that outranks God's word in our planning. We must let no temporal priorities come in and trump his purpose for our lives. What is that purpose? Well, as Christians, that purpose is to be messengers of the good news that God loves and longs to save sinners through His Son. Three realms. There's three realms where I believe we most often and most easily lose sight of God's purpose. And that's our time, our money, and our relationships. We make plans to use our time. We make plans to use our money. We make plans for how we're going to invest in relationships. We make plans for all these things. Question is, are we seeking to bring all of those plans in each of those domains of life into alignment with the only purpose that will give those plans eternal, lasting significance and impact? It's not a one-time decision that we make. It's not like a magic switch that we flip that will cause then every single plan going forward to have monumental, eternal significance. No, submitting our plans to the Lord, seeking to align our lives and our plans to His eternal purpose is a discipline. That's why we're called disciples by Jesus. It's a discipline. We got to keep at it. It's something that we have to do over and over again. We got to keep learning. When we have setbacks, when plans fail, it's not an instant, nor is it an utter defeat. No, it's an opportunity to adjust. A gracious opportunity given to us by God to recalibrate our lives back to His plan. It's like war. Every setback that an army faces gives those commanders an opportunity to step back and reassess and recalibrate and re-strategize. It's like war, because it is war, folks. We are at war. May not look like it. We don't wear armor around here, but we are at war as Christians. Not with Christians, but as Christians. We are at war. We're active participants, brothers and sisters, in a cosmic conflict that's been going on since well before the world began. And we have an enemy that wants to deceive and destroy. But we carry the truth, the only truth that defeats him. And we war against his influence in this world, not with guns, not with grenades, but with the gospel of grace. Every plan that we make that doesn't account for the fact that we are in a life and death fight against falsehood, commissioned to go on a rescue mission with the truth of Jesus Christ, is a plan that misses God's purpose. Well, I hope that you're evaluating your plans. I hope you're evaluating your priorities, your day planners, your calendars. I hope we're not just looking at life casually. And I'd be the first to admit I do. Sometimes I just kind of get in a rut of busyness and it's just kind of, oh man, what can I fit in this day? And it's just kind of, you get into this day by day by day. My life is only so wide mindset. And it's very easy then to lose sight of the fact that our lives are also only so long. And just like James says, nobody knows what's coming tomorrow. Your life might only be as long as from your birthday till tomorrow. Then what? So is every decision, every undertaking, every plan that we're making, are we considering it in the light of God's perfect, all-succeeding purpose in this world through Jesus Christ? If not, that plan misses it big time. Given the fact of the spiritual war that we are engaged in as Christians, I think it's very fitting that the only two verses in Proverbs, only two of them, where the Hebrew word for plans and purpose both appear, are our focal verse, chapter 19, verse 21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand, and Proverbs chapter 20, the very next chapter, verse 18. This is the verse I said I would come back to in a moment. Plans are established by counsel. by wise guidance, wage war. Now, Solomon was a king. He was the father of sons who would one day be kings and understandably would be engaged in waging war, physical war, and he wanted them to be prepared for the reality of physical warfare. Only wage it by guidance and by counsel. Our Messiah, our commander, King Jesus, wants his people to be prepared for the reality, the ongoing reality of spiritual warfare, and to be as ready and engaged in that conflict as we possibly can be. We Christians ought to begin each day with the question, how will I today bring my life into alignment with God's eternal purpose of redemption? How can I do that today? Who can I talk with today? How can I talk with the people that I talk with today in a way that will point them to the Savior? How can I use my resources today in a way that will push forward the gospel and not hinder its advance? And then we ought to end each day by asking this question, how tomorrow might I, better informed by God's Word and more empowered by His Spirit, better align my life with God's redeeming purpose than I did today? So a beginning of the day and an end of the day question, both having to do with how can we bring our lives into full alignment with God's plan and purpose. Think about it. You drive your car down the road and you hit a curb or something at one point, and so the wheels are a little bit out of line. What's it doing? It's pulling. You got to constantly herd it. You got to constantly fight it. Well, what needs to happen is something underneath the hood, way down in the drive line of the front wheels, needs to be banged back into place, right, Tom? It needs to be realigned. Sometimes that process is a little rough in our lives as Christians, but it's a good process. We need God's Spirit to guide us back into alignment with Him. For non-Christians, the question is, well, will I heed God's gospel call to align my life with His purpose? Will I heed it? Will I hear it and will I heed it? God has a purpose in this world of justifying and saving sinners through faith in Jesus Christ. Are you going to get in line with that? Or am I going to refuse and am I going to align my life with God's other purpose, that of justification and condemnation? Those purposes are distinct, but they are inseparable. The binding tie between God's purposes of justification and salvation are, and wrath and condemnation is glory. That's the binding tie. That's what binds those two together. God is working out His ultimate purpose of being glorified in the totality of His character and being glorified in His grace and mercy, at the same time being glorified in His justice and wrath. God's working out both of those priorities and both of those purposes, and they come together in one purpose of glory and worship. Those who align their earthly lives with His purpose of redemption will give Him that glory for all of eternity. And those who don't will endure eternal condemnation. So Christians, what in your life needs to be realigned with God's purpose? Do you need a reset? Do you need to recalibrate? If you're here today, I'm sure there is some area, as there is in mine, life, where you could use a little bit of a tune-up. If you're here and you're not in Christ, you've never received Jesus, you don't even know what I mean when I say that. You've never trusted in Christ for salvation, believe that He is the Son of God here to forgive your sins and give you eternal life, then you need to get serious about the question, are you going to get on board with God's plan and His free offer of grace or not? I hope you will. I hope you will. We as Christians ought to be praying to that end. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, we do pray to that end, that that sinners would be saved, that sinners in our way, in the paths of our lives, would hear the good news that there is hope. There is a God who is loving and forgiving. But I pray also that they would hear an urgency in our voices. That they would hear, you don't know what tomorrow might bring, friend. Don't you want to have assurance today? I pray for people to hear that good news and that urgent news, that your Spirit would cause them to respond. I pray that this Friday night as we gather here, that there would be many people from the neighborhood, from the community who come, maybe just curious, maybe just want a free bag of popcorn and watch a movie, but that they would hear the gospel, they would see it, and then they would hear it, that your Spirit would drive it home to them, and they would be saved through faith. I pray for this, Lord, and I pray for more of it in our lives, out there in the communities, in the workplaces where we go each day. Give your gospel success and get our lives in line with your purpose. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Get us on board with that purpose, Jesus. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together.